to you once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the wonderful island nation of Sri Lanka, where at all times, in the midst of all the craziness that we experience in this life, always remember that Jesus Christ remains Lord of all. Lord in all, Lord through all, He remains. This whole life, this whole world, everything here, it's His bat, His ball, His, if you're on the Asia side, His cricket pitch, or His field, the whole thing is His. So, you know, you and I, we stay in this life for a window of time. Time even being a creation. Time even having a beginning. You know, scriptures talk about in the beginning. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So there was a beginning. There was a start. Time came into being when there was no time. Before that, it was just eternity. And eternity, into eternity stepped time. Into eternity came this creation of time, if you would. Because we serve a creative God. And our creative God created time. And in the process of Him creating time, He created the way for us to have a window of an experience. A window of an experience. That window is what you and I live in right now. That window is what you and I experience right now. It is an amazing transitional point in the reality of what you experience. Because, one, you get to be able to make choice. And you get to be able to make choices that affect your eternal destiny. You know that this life is just the dressing room for eternity. Everything that goes on between here and there sets so much. You get the chance to choose while you're here. Will you serve light and truth? Or will you serve darkness and the devil and the enemy of all mankind and all humanity? You know, the funny thing about, or the ironic thing, I guess, about the enemy of our souls is that he plays to fallen man. He plays to that flesh that you have. He plays to that carnal mindset. And he makes you offers. He makes you propositions based on that. But all of his offers are temporal. All of his offers are temporary. And they all have to do with this life and this world. The mantra of the world and the world system is big, quick, and now. Big, quick, and now. If you're going to do it in the world, you got to do it big. You got to be fast. And you got to have it right now. Instant gratification. There is no delay. There is no patience in the world. They want it today. They wanted it yesterday. And the world plays to that. You know, how many people base first of all, they compare themselves to other people. They compare their lives and who they are to others. And how they gauge themselves is, you know, well, is relative compared to the other person. So, if you've got this car, what car does the other person drive? If you have this watch, what's the other watch the other person's driving? If you're dating this girl, what's the girl the other person's dating? Or boy, if, you know, and boyfriends and all of that thing. Whatever. House, job, status, pen, phone, stuff, things, vacations, pictures. Oh, here we go. So, take social media. And everybody tweeting and Facebooking away. Think about Facebook for a second. How many people put up pictures of themselves depressed? How many people post things that are based on what's really going on in their life? No. You always post a picture of yourself with a big smile and a drink in your hand, right? Yep, you're the life of the party. Everybody loves you. But if somebody could see past what it is that's going on and the things that you struggle with, the things that affect your heart, your spirit, your soul, your mind, the things that you, your hopes and expectations that just are not met, the longings of your soul that just, you know there's more. You know there's more in this life. You know that you were created for something more, and yet it doesn't seem to, it just, where is it? Well, you know, the Father that created you knows you. Knows you inside and out and loves you. And He made you for a purpose. He made you for a reason. You exist for a reason. And you exist to know Him. You exist to walk with Him. But there's choice involved. You have to choose it. You have to want it. You have to actually be so fed up with the lie, with the deception, with the emptiness of what this world is. You have to be so fed up with it, so sick of it, that you want to die to the whole thing because you can't stand it. You know, the funny thing about money, there's an interesting thing with it. You know, the world sets people up to say, okay, if you can just get enough of it, then you're going to be happy. So a lot of people spend their whole lives chasing after money because money is access. Money is power for so many people. In the world system, it is. Because it creates options. You can buy your way out. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's privilege. It's a lot of things that people aspire to in that system. But can it fill the heart? Can it fill the need of your soul? No. And so what happens? People chase after that. And a lot of people spend their whole lives chasing after that, never having enough. And then when the time comes that some of them that do acquire and do amass unto themselves, and then when the party's over, when they're alone by themselves and get a chance to stop and think about what life is and what life is to them, they realize just how empty they are. They realize that no matter what they pour into that hole in their soul, in this world, nothing is filling it. And that's why they get really depressed, because they're missing it. You can't buy enough fast cars. You can't buy enough pretty girls. You can't buy enough flashy things to wear, to dress with, to put on. There's nothing there. And you know it. You know it's empty. And in the process of knowing that it's empty, you look. And you wonder what else is out there. Now here's where religion gets interesting. See, one thing that the devil does is, because he's a doing devil, he's pretty busy, got lots of stuff out there. One thing that he does is he knows that there's going to be a set of people that get fed up that with that emptiness of the world, because there's only so much abuse that they'll do to themselves, so much drugs they'll take, so much empty sex that they'll have, whatever it is that they're doing to try to fill that void in their soul. And he knows there's going to be a set of them that can't fill that gap and that look for another way. So what does he do? Well, he creates other traps. He creates other things for people to get into, to get involved with, to push themselves for. So that's where religion comes in. Because, okay, the world and life is empty, right? The world and life has nothing for you. So, in the process of the world and life having nothing for you, well, let's get some religion, shall we? Let's get some enlightenment. Let's get some, let's go and contemplate our navel on a hillside. Let's go get in touch with our roots, with your feminine side. Let's go be religious. Let's go be pious. Let's go be the opposite in behavior of what we were doing before. Because obviously, if that one set of behavior wasn't working and wasn't filling our soul and was leaving us empty, then if we do the opposite of that, if we become very pious, very religious, if we observe all the special days and we eat these special foods and wear this special underwear, and then we're okay. That's got to be it, right? Right? Well, you got to keep in mind that this is a lifetime that over which people go through these stages and transitions and try these different things. And because, see, the devil, if he can't claim you to hell, he'd love to waste your time while you're here. He'd love to waste the window that you've been blessed with and make sure that you never ever get about the purposes of God in your life. So he can waste your life with religion. Oh, and here, I'll tell you what, religion, there's some uses for it in the natural terms. Yeah, you can do some good charity through those. Probably meet some to the world, naturalize. You can meet some somewhat nice people there, because they're trying to keep the rules. So they're probably going to be nice to you, at least inside there. As soon as a lot of them get outside the walls of those places, the demon inside comes out of them. But while they're inside the building, the church, the mosque, the temple, the whatever, and they're practicing their religion, they'll probably be nice to you inside there. Why is it that people lose their minds once they get out of there? And they go back to that job or that place, do that thing that they usually do. Anyways, just a point of curiosity. But no, there's nothing for you in religion either. See, here's the thing. What you want, what you need, what the core of your soul is crying out for is a relationship with the living God. Now, this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son, who you sent, Jesus Christ. Now, this is life. This is life. This is it. This is what you're looking for. It's not the latest car. It's not the latest trend. It's not that perfect relationship. It is the absolute relationship with the lover of your soul, with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the core of your being is crying out for. And that is what so few people will let themselves be released unto. Because, think about it. Here's a question. Why do people get so opposed when it comes to Jesus? Why? Have you ever thought about that? When it comes to Jesus Christ, why is it that people get so adamant and so opposed and are so angry and so upset? Have you ever wondered why, when people curse, why do they say Jesus Christ when they're cursing, but then when they don't use any other religious figure, if you would, they don't say something Muhammad or Buddha or anything like that? No, why? Because the name of Jesus has power. The name of Jesus has power. It has power to break every yoke. It has power to set the captive free. It has power over every situation in life. It has power over whatever it is that you are facing right now. That name is the name above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He is indeed Lord. So, now, I'm just talking truth right now. You know, this is just truth. This is just reality. This is just what it is. And, you know, like, for example, you know, gravity. It is what it is. You can try to ignore it. You can not believe in it. You can try to fight the effects of it. But it's still there. It's still there. And everything, given that all things remaining constant, all things remaining given their chance to have their practical application, as soon as you run out of jet fuel, you're going to fall back to the earth. Why? Because gravity's there. And it is there, and it's doing what it does. And there are real things, real facts about what it is life is, and what it is that we experience, and what it is that eternity is, and what it is that we experience in that. And you and I are faced with just true facts about what life is. I think I said in the last audio we did, it's a fact. You and I are passing through, i.e. you and I die. That means that we check out of this life. And there's a window of time that we're in this life, and then we're not. And when you cease to exist, all of the money, all of the power, all of the position, all of the people that were oohing and aahing for you, all of that doesn't mean anything, does it? Doesn't mean anything. If you're lucky, somebody might actually put a tombstone for you. Maybe once a year bring some flowers by. Otherwise, people move on. They get on with their lives. They carry on with what life is for them, here, now. And then they transition out as well. And then the next, and the next, and the next. Generations come and generations go. Now, knowing that fact, what should be your priority while you're here? Because obviously, to build your life and to invest all that you are on sinking sand is not going to be the best use of the window that you have here, is it? Is it, practically speaking? If we're talking truth, if we're talking reality, is that the best thing you could possibly do? What should be your priority? What should be important to you? Forget priority. At least just say for a moment, let's just say what should be important to you. Now, I don't want to forget priority for too long, because ultimately scriptures instruct us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things that you need will be taken care of. So God is instructed to put priority number one, seeking first His kingdom, His dominion. God's been instructing us for that, and He's giving us the way through. But when it comes to priorities in life, you know, I mean, Think about it. Think that, as horrible as 9/11 was, think about it. Was there one person that, once those buildings were hit, that was calling to check their stock report? No. Because at that moment, their priorities shifted dramatically. When they were faced with the very real potential of their death, and many, many of them died, what was their priority in that moment? Well, think about it. What's your priorities at this moment? What's important to you? What is consuming your time? What is consuming your thought life? What is the things that you worry about, that you're anxious about, that you're perplexed about? Why are you so worried about things that really don't matter? They really don't. You know, stop right now and just look at where you are. Stop right now and just realize that you've been blessed. You've been blessed to be able to listen to this. You've been blessed to be able to get a word from God. You know why? Because God loves you. He loves you so much that He's not leaving you unto yourself. He's not leaving you by yourself. He's not leaving you stuck. He's giving you a way out. And that way begins with Him. That way begins by raising your hand to Him and just saying, Lord God, I can't do it. Father, I cannot do it. Unless He builds the house, the builder builds in vain. Unless He watches over the city, the watchman watches in vain. Unless God is involved in the affairs of your life, you're laboring for naught. So involve Him in the affairs of your life. How do you involve Him? Seek first the kingdom. And then as you seek first His kingdom, as you put Him first, as you pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. As you put all of those things in the right stead, the right place, the right priorities, the right thing, and the right place at the right time, in the right way, as soon as you do that, you unlock it. You unlock His will to be done in your life. You know that prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer. Because the disciples asked Jesus how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. They said, Lord, how do we pray? And Jesus said, well, all right. Here, do this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. Hey, so He teaches them to pray, teaches us to pray. When in that prayer, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, what's He teaching us to do? Well, one thing that He's teaching you to do is to surrender your will to His. See, you've been created as a free will agent. That means that you have choice. You have the ability to choose. You can choose to do something smart. You can choose to do something stupid. And the other side of it too is that you also have to live with the consequences of your choice. If you choose wisely, you receive a wise and a blessed reward. If you choose stupidly, you receive a stupid reward. If you sow stupidity, you're going to reap stupidity. That's just how it works. Just like the law of gravity. It's just there, it's working. It's doing what it's doing. And you can choose to try to ignore it, but it's still there. And if you step off the side of a building, it's still going to be there. Now, God in His mercy can occasionally change the circumstances, but there's a way that things work. And on a regular basis, that's just what it is. No, I tell you. You know, there is an easier way. Well, I shouldn't say... Well, okay, wait. Easy kind of went out the door with Adam. I should say there's a simpler way. Because, you know, when... With the whole scenario with the garden and all that took place there, easy went out the door. But God still kept it simple. And God keeps it simple for you and I. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Simple. Do these things. If you just do those two, you will fulfill all the law and the prophets, and every need that you ever have in this life will be met. Isn't that amazing? Talk about a summary version for a good life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In those, you will have fulfilled the entire law, the entire word. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of your needs. Simple. You'll meet the need when it's needed. Isn't that nice? Yeah. I tell you. You know, God kept it simple. It's not easy, though. No. Don't mistake simple for easy. No, God kept it simple, but you got to go through some things. You have to go through some trials. You have to go through some tests. You have to go through some tribulation. And that's part of what life is. It's part of what life was meant to be. That was part of what you and I agreed to come into when we came to this place. Yeah, you want me to expand on that? Maybe I will another time. But you and I agreed to come into this thing. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And even as Jesus Christ, to accomplish the will of the Father, agreed to come into this life, to be here, to walk here as a man, to be spitefully used and spitefully treated, agreed to be subjected to the worst possible death they could ever come up with. In all of that, choosing to do that on our behalf, choosing to do that out of His great love for us, choosing to do that to fulfill the will of the Father. In Isaiah, I think it's 55 or 56, it says it was the will of the Father to crush Him. It's the will of the Father to crush His own Son. And why? And it was the will of the Son to fulfill the will of the Father. Wow. What a difference from some of the Father-Son combinations out there, right? No, God, He loves us. And He loved us when we were His enemies. When we were at enmity with Him, He still loved us. And He still called out to us. He still stretched out His hand. He still desired to make the way so that you and I could be in relationship and connection with Him. He wanted that from the very start, and He made the way for that, so that you and I do not have to suffer eternal separation from Him, so that you and I do not have to be disconnected from Him. You and I can live in the connection that God intended for us this day in Jesus' name. God intended for you to be connected to Him. He intended for you to walk with Him. He intended for you to know Him. And everything the world does is to try to keep you from knowing Him. Everything it throws at you is to try to keep you distracted and caught up with something else until your life is taken, until your soul is scalped. But God quietly calls out to His people, to those that are marked for Him, and bids them come. Come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your soul. Take My yoke upon you, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. You know that Scripture's for you. So, trust Him. Trust Him. Lean not on your own understanding, but trust the Father. Call out to Him in the hour of your need, and He will always, always, always meet you. God will not despise a heavy heart, a broken and contrite spirit. No, He doesn't despise that. Whatever it is that you're going through, He sees that, He feels that, He knows it, and He longs to give you His solution, His way, His direction, His peace. He longs that you would know that truth, and that that truth would set you free. He wants you to know, to understand, and to walk out His plan and purpose for you. Nothing less. Nothing less is you were destined for nothing less than that. You were destined to know Him this day. For today is the day of salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. And in this day, this is the time. This is your time. This is my time. This is our time to walk out the leg of this journey of life that God has given us. This is it. So rise up into the abundant life that God intended for you. Settle for nothing less. And know Him and trust Him. And know that He that began that good work in you will carry it on to completion. And you can rest assured knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us, is with us, and strengthens us for the journey and the task at hand. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. God bless you, and we'll catch up sometime really soon. All right. Hey, talk to you later. Bye.